Senator Martin Heinrich has been in Congress for 7 years. I can't believe it's been 7 years. He served first in the House of Representatives in Congress, and then he became a senator. So, Senator Heinrich, thank you so much for being on the Children's Hour with us this morning.
It's always great to be here.
Yeah, this is not your first visit to our show. In fact, you've come before at least a couple of times, and your kids are in the birthday club.
They are in the birthday club. When you said 7 years, it makes me realize why they've gotten so tall.
It could be your genetics. Can we just throw it out there that Senator Heinrich is repeatedly ranked as the most handsome member of Congress?
I had nothing to do with that. Blame my parents.
Julie, your wife might have something to do with that. I mean, she's probably ranked as the most beautiful wife in Congress as
well.
Or spouse, we should say, because there's many women Congress people, too. But Senator Heinrich, you're here with us on KUNM. All the kids have lots of questions for you. I'll kick off with this question. How often do you get back to the state of New Mexico while you're serving in Congress? Like, how many days of your life does serving in Congress take?
It's kind of a constant game of back and forth. So sometimes I'm coming home just for a day or two. Like, I'll probably pop back for Veterans Day in the middle of the week. But other times I'm coming back and just traveling for a week at a time. And, you know, when I was in the House, I literally, you know, lived on the floor of my office in D.C., slept in a sleeping bag, and then would be in Albuquerque every weekend. Now that I represent the entire state, I oftentimes find that it's much easier to travel to five or six cities at a block. And oftentimes I'm, you know, not getting home to my bed in Albuquerque, but I'm in the state someplace.
Wow.
So it's a big balancing act.
Is that normal? By the way, just a sec, Julie. Is that normal for people to sleep in a sleeping bag in their congressional office?
Well, I think that sleeping in a sleeping bag is normal, but I don't know about the other part.
I see. Well, that's one of the things that makes you unique. You're incredibly dedicated. That's dedication. Yeah, Julia.
So I just found out this morning that you used to work for Cottonwood Gulch. So
I sure did.
I've been there a few times with my school, and I really enjoyed it. So I was wondering how that affected your job that you have now.
Oh, it's one, Cottonwood Gulch is a magical place that really works with kids from all over the country and across New Mexico. Has a big property out next to the Zuni Mountains, next to the Cibola National Forest. And working there exposed me to all kinds of things. I worked with tribal members on the Navajo Nation, and I learned about archaeology, and I learned about all kinds of the sciences that are involved in public lands management and geology. So it really, like my job now, exposed me to a lot of different things. And something really exciting happened at Cottonwood Gulch just last week. They actually did a prescribed fire for the first time, and they had had, they have a big pine forest, as you know, on the property. And pine historically used to have these regular fires that weren't very hot. They're not like the ones we've seen recently. And to make that forest more healthy, they've worked with a number of different organizations, and the Forest Guild and the Forest Service and the local fire department. And they did a big prescribed fire and reintroduced fire into that the pine forest out there, which is a really pretty, a great example for people trying to restore these forests to a healthier state.
Have you been back to the Cottonwood Gulch lands since you've
I have, absolutely. And hoping that one or both of my boys will get a chance to spend some time out there, maybe even next summer.
Speaking of which, I have a question about your children. How are they adapting to life in Washington, D.C., or wherever you're living now?
It's hard because they sort of have a foot in both places, too. So they're here during the summer and Christmas holidays and all of that. And then they're also trying to, one of the reasons why they're in Maryland is so that I can see them during the week and work with them on homework. So it's a challenge, but we're seeing each other a lot more than we were before. And especially since I travel now throughout the entire state of New Mexico, if I'm in Silver City or if I'm spending the night in Shiprock or Taos, then I'm not going to get to see my kids. And so we find the best balance that we can. They Skype a lot with their friends from here, and then they look forward to times like July and August when they get to come back for a month or two at a time.
Does Congress do anything kind of sweet and official for the kids that are there?
There's a great congressional summer camp there. They've kind of graduated out of that at this point, but they had a really great time there, and they got a chance to go to all these places in Washington, D.C., the places that print the money and the Smithsonian museums, and that's a really unique perspective.
Questions from the kids? Anybody?
I have a question.
Yeah, please. Go ahead, Sydney.
Why did you want to become a senator?
Well, actually, I wanted to become an engineer, so that's what I studied in college.
Wow.
And I got distracted somewhere along the way because I realized that there wasn't enough, for one, science in public policy debates and how we make our decisions. We certainly see that with the debate today around climate disruption and global warming. And so I decided to run for city council, and that led to people encouraging me to run for Congress, and then Senator Bingaman retired, and I decided to run for his Senate seat.
Are you still the only engineer in Congress?
No. So in the U.S. Senate, there are now two. The new senator from Montana, Steve Daines, is a chemical engineer, so we have doubled our numbers in the U.S. Senate.
I want to hear about some of the people that you've met and consulted with throughout your time in Washington, D.C.
Well, that's probably one of the neatest things about the job is you get exposed to the most amazing people who are really at the top of their game, whatever that is. Scientists like Craig Venter, who worked on the human genome, and people who are at the leading edge of renewable energy or computer technology. And so you get a chance to, I'm never going to be the person who knows everything about those subjects, but by knowing a little bit and by being educated by some of the smartest people around, then hopefully I can make better decisions about how we deal with some of those things.
For example, a decision that you came upon this week with some of our other congressional leaders. Can you talk to us about that? A big thing happened this week, and it really impacts all these kids listening and all the kids in this room because it impacts our future and how we spend our money as a government. Can you tell us what happened, first of all, that made you? I don't even know if kids even know about the animus, so we kind of have to
Sure.
give a brief
well,
synopsis
we had,
of that.
You know, we had a big terrible mining spill this summer that turned a river that's very important to New Mexico, the Animas River, bright orange, got a lot of people's attention, and I think was a wake-up call for a law that is 140-some years old that we haven't changed in all that time that just says if there are minerals, gold or silver, underneath like Forest Service land, places you camp and recreate and go fishing or camping, that we give those away for free to mining companies. And the problem is we've had a lot of mining companies go out of business over the years and leave the mess behind. And that's what happened. That's what kind of caused this animus mine spill. And we have thousands of those all across the West. And so Senator Tom Udall, Congressman Lujan from the northern part of the state, we introduced legislation that says we need an insurance policy. When they use those minerals that come from your public lands, they need to put some money into a fund to help clean up the mess so we don't have another animus spill.
That seems logical, don't you guys think? Yeah? Seriously, I can't believe that companies were allowed to just take stuff off the public lands
leave a mess. It's a history of a law that just simply has never changed, and everyone else who takes things off the public lands does, pay something to the public for them. But we get all our water from these public lands. When you think about it, the Rio Grande flows down from the mountains of southern Colorado and northern New Mexico, largely Forest Service and BLM lands. The same is true for the animus over in the northwest part of the state. We need to protect those watersheds, and I think everybody deserves clean water.
So what can you do to prevent these mine spills and prevent like other things from happening to our rivers and our forests and stuff?
Well, one of the things we can do is change the law. And the law hasn't been changed for 143 years. It's time to bring a 19th century law into the 21st century and make sure that we're looking out for everyone. And we're just recognizing that things have changed in 143 years. I mean, things have changed in the last 5 years, the last 10 years. Can you imagine how much they've changed in 140 years?
So basically your job as a senator is to change the laws or to make laws What else do senators do and in
Congress? We also do oversight to make sure that the government isn't overstepping its bounds, which is something that historically, you know, one of the great things about America is that we can speak out and we can criticize the government when we think they're wrong. And sometimes they do things that are not wholly within the law. And we saw that with, you know, we have an agency called the NSA that's part of our intelligence apparatus. And it was holding a whole bunch of phone call records, not of people we knew were doing bad things, but just of regular people. And a number of us said, hey, that's wrong. And we were able to change the law and change that practice.
Well, Senator Martin Heinrich, you're leading the way here in New Mexico, and we are really grateful for you. And I know you have to go, but I just want to thank you. We all want to thank you for being on the Children's Hour with us this morning. It's really been educational and wonderful to see you again. Thank you so much, Senator. Thank you.
Thank you all.